Hello and welcome to another episode of the Remix Movement Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is episode 240 and we got some stuff we're going to talk about today. First off, I want to say for those of you guys who are with us on the 21 days of prayer and fasting with the Remix Movement Podcast team, I hope that it is going well. It is the 11th of January, so today is day three. For me, it's been a really good experience. I haven't been used to yet waking up at 4:30, but I have noticed that after I spend some time with him in the morning, I pray, I read the Bible, I do my devotional, I journal things. I definitely feel a lot more closer to God. I definitely feel more awake, like if I'm better prepared for the rest of the day. And I do see myself with a lot more peace and just a lot more sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And it carries me through the day because it allows me to be able to like listen to praise and worship music and allows me to like meditate on the Holy Spirit. And it really is something that I really do find that I really like. Now, when it comes to my physical part about the fasting, I definitely feel like it may be getting harder to say no to chocolate and ice cream. Now, the fasting that I'm doing right now is basically no sweets, no fast food, no bread, no pasta, and just fruits, vegetables, water, and you know, that's basically it, right? But when I say to you guys, like anybody who knows me knows that I love chocolate. I usually have like a little piece of a fun size Snickers or a little fun size Twix, or I'll have, you know, like stop by Starbucks and get me a chocolate frappuccino. And it's just been so hard sometimes to say no to those things, because if I get hungry because I'm only eating fruits, vegetables, and protein, I feel like, man, I wish I had like something sweet. And to kind of trigger that and like help with it, I take like a tangerine, like a small little cutie, and I have that. But man, it's been something that I've been struggling with. And I always think to myself, because I remember the pastor at my church says, you know, your body and your flesh may be feeling a certain type of way during fasting, but maybe that just means you have to get out of that mindset and start focusing back on the reason why you're doing the fasting. Why are you getting this fasting done? What are the things that you're praying on? How can God use this moment where you're feeling like you crave that piece of chocolate or you crave that ice cream, but you're saying no to it and you're spending time with God? So, I just want to be honest with you guys, like fasting, the actual notion of fasting and saying no to certain types of foods and at certain types of times is very difficult, but it's totally worth it as long as you know why you're doing it. Here's the other thing. I'm trying really hard to fast and not eat anything at all between the hours of 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. Not gonna lie, sometimes in the morning when I get up, it's kind of hard. But I know it's worth it. And I know that, you know, I'm doing this for the right reasons. There are things that I'm praying for and I'm asking God for. And I just want clarity as I'm doing the fasting and as I'm praying to God. I want him to just navigate in the areas that I'm asking him. And I do see that God is slowly surprising me in certain things. And I'm really grateful and privileged and happy to be doing this 21-day fast. So for people that are out there, you're on day three and you're struggling with your flesh, that's okay. That is normal, but just keep in mind the reason why you are doing it, all right? Now, here's another thing. To keep my mind and my spirit in the 21-day fast, I am listening a lot to the Bible through Amazon's Audible app. And basically, I've been listening to the different texts, the Bible scripture. Originally when I got the app, I started like in the middle of Romans and I've been working my way through the end. I finished Revelations and then hopped back to Matthew. But as I was listening to Revelations, I was like, oh, you know what? This is something that I feel like we can get some really good lessons from, because I feel like sometimes when we read the book of Revelations, yes, a lot of it has to do with the prophecies of the end of the times that's about to happen. But at the same time, I want to just bring a little bit of clarity to who is writing this and why he's writing this. So, and maybe like some lessons that we can get from Revelations as well. Let me pick up my Bible. So Revelations, and I want to just read this as a preface. Let's see. I'm getting my Bible. Hold on. I got a paper Bible this time. Looking at my paper Bible. All right. So Revelations, the book of Revelations is the very last book of the Bible. And the author is thought to be of John the Apostle, okay? And basically, he's writing prophecies that were given to him so that they could be sent over to seven different churches in Asia, okay? So there's seven different churches with seven different visions of what's about to happen. And in some of these letters that he's writing to these churches, there are moments that I believe I can relate to even now, okay? So I want to go ahead and just read Revelations chapter 2, and I'm only going to be reading verses 1 through 7, okay? So this is the message that he gives to the church in Ephesus, and it says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hands, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands, okay? So basically he's saying, this is a prophecy, it came directly from God, and I'm just going to share with you what he said. This is the message he has for Ephesus, and I think that this message could also be relatable even now to ourselves, okay? It says, I know, verse 2, I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claim of those who say they are apostles, but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Exclamation mark. What does that mean? That means it's important. Take note, okay? Look how far you have fallen, exclamation mark. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of Nicolaitans just as I do. Verse 7. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit, capital S. So that means he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And understand what he is saying to the churches. To anyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. So when I read this, there are a few things that kind of jump at me, right? So the first one is, he's letting you know, I know all the things that you're doing. Every single thing you do, the good and the bad. God knows everything, okay? There's nothing that you can hide that God doesn't know about. There is nothing that you can do or say or think that God doesn't know about. God knows absolutely everything, okay? So for those of you who may be baby Christians, God knows everything. And even though you may have done what you think is the worst of the worst before you said, God, come into my heart, that's okay. Because moving forward, God is still going to see everything, all right? For those of you who are in a seasoned relationship with him, maybe you're in a relationship for a while now and then you stop, you know, being as consistent. God sees everything and he knows that you guys have been working hard. He knows that you guys have been patient. He knows that you guys have been following, you know, what it is to be a follower of Christ, right? So for many of us as Christians, we tend to think if I keep the Ten Commandments, then I'm good, right? We think that there's like do this and don't do that. Don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't fornicate, don't commit adultery, don't cheat on your spouse, you know, and we think like, okay, well, I got to do all these things. Like if we have a checklist, I got to make sure that I don't do this. I got to make sure I do that. And the thing is that we have too many checklists as Christians. We have too many checklists of what we're doing and what we're not doing that we take our eyes off of God. And he attacks this in verse 4 when he says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. So when I read this, this tells me if God sees everything and God knows I'm trying really hard to navigate life and to move forward and be the best person that I can be, why is he telling me that I don't love others the way that I am supposed to love them? See, we're called to love everyone. And yet sometimes we feel like we can pick and choose who we're allowed to love, who we're allowed to talk to God about, who we're allowed to invite to church. And I wrote this on Instagram recently because it was something that was tugging on my heart. And I was like, you know what, God? Sometimes this happens even to me, right? Sometimes this happens to people where we think we have the power to pick and choose who gets salvation and who doesn't. But the truth is, and I'll say exactly what I said on Instagram, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, then you should feel a spiritual responsibility for the lives of others, whether you know them personally or not. It is not up to you to judge who can and cannot go into heaven, because God sees everything and God loves everyone. God loves the prostitute. God loves the murderer. God loves the cheater. God loves the person who called you a bad name at the office. God loves the friend that backstabbed you. God loves everyone. And even though people may hurt you, even though you may have certain judgments towards others, because that's fleshly, our spiritual nature, our spiritual conviction needs to be that we have a responsibility for other people. We have to love other people, regardless if we know them or not. It's not about, oh, well, I have to protect myself and I have to make sure that nobody hurts me. No, it's about putting yourself out there and showing people who Jesus Christ is. So when it says you don't love me, God, or each other, the people surrounding you, as you did at first, he's talking about the first love and the first encounter that you had when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So when a person receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they experience the joy, they experience the delight, they experience like, I can't believe that there is a God out there who loves me so much that even though I am messed up, he's willing to forgive me, he's willing to take me as his son or daughter, and he's willing to help me in my life. See, that is what we call the first love of being a believer, of being with somebody like Christ, of being in a relationship with our God, who is not only our Savior here to save us, but he is also supposed to be our Lord, the one who's supposed to be on top of us, the ones who's supposed to be guiding us, the one that we're supposed to go to when we need help, the person that we're supposed to go to when we need wisdom, okay? So God's Holy Spirit is what allows us to feel, after we say the prayer of salvation, that we are adopted as a child of God, that there's nothing that can break that bond as long as we know that we are following who Jesus Christ is. And when you receive this relationship, you're also not just receiving this abundant, unconditional love, you're also receiving joy and freedom. But unfortunately, many Christians tend to feel like they fall away from this love because life gets hard. Life gets hard, and there are situations, and there are distractions, and there are temptations, and our life gets flustered, and we take our eyes off of God, and we lose this first love notion, this first love spirit that's supposed to be in us every single day. And I want to read Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16, because this is exactly what I'm talking about here. It says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you feel fearful, makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit, Holy Spirit, joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So what does this say to us? This says to me, John was trying to tell the church of Ephesus, you guys need to wake up, and you need to actually recognize that God is calling you to fall in love with him every single day. Every single day that you struggle, every single day that you have a problem, every single day that you get frustrated, every single day that you get sad, every single day that you get angry, it doesn't matter what situation happens to you. We need to have a spirit where we are in love with Christ. Where we are in love and we choose to follow him, not because we have to as Christians, but because we get to and we want to. We have to get back to this idea that God wants to be in a relationship with us and we need to be able to want to be in a relationship with him. It's not something that just stops in like a week or two. It's not just something that happens and our emotions get wrapped up for a few months. No, no, no. Being a follower of Jesus Christ requires you to die to your flesh and live by your spirit and stay connected with the Holy Spirit so that you can be able to flourish as a believer of Jesus Christ, so that you can be able to love others and love God and even love yourself. So this is where I think the lesson can come from, because even when I see here verse 7, it's a beautiful ending here. It says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. So if we allow ourselves every single day to know that we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ and we love him so much that despite whatever situation comes up, whatever issues we hear, whatever situation that we weren't looking forward to, if we die to our flesh, surrender ourselves to his Holy Spirit, and commit to staying in love with Jesus Christ, then God is going to be able to hand us the victory and God is going to be able to show us the fruitfulness that will come from our lives. Yes, it's going to take work. It's not a magic trick. It's not something that happens from one day to the next. But you know what I've learned in these last 3 days of my fasting is I'm intentionally making time for God in this time that I have with him. And I'm seeing him open things that I've never seen before. I appreciate my marriage more. I love my husband more. I see how God is working. I see how God is giving me peace. I see how maybe at work things are going a little bit crazier than I anticipated, but I'm seeing how God can elevate me to possibly get a promotion soon, to possibly get a raise soon. I'm seeing how God is using the text that I'm reading during this time to be able to motivate and encourage me to be a better person and to love on others who maybe those others may not be people who like me. So I really do hope that as I read this to you and I explain this to you, that you can know we need to stop with our checklist of what it is to be a Christian and show more love. We need to stop trying to do things and not do things and do things and not do things to the point where we lose our eyesight off of God. Our eyesight has to be focused on God. God is our Lord. God is our Savior. God is the person that we need to be able to live every single day. I mean, he, honest to God, he lets you wake up every day with air in your lungs so that you could be able to breathe and live another day. That is God's grace and that is God's mercy. And we need to be grateful for that. And we need to continue to love on him as if it's our first love every single day. So thank you so much for tuning into this episode. And I will talk to you again soon. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Remix Movement podcast. If you found this episode encouraging and uplifting, the best thing you can do today is share it with others. Stay connected with me on social media to get more new podcast episode alerts, verses of the day, and much more. Follow me on Instagram at StephanieA321. And don't forget to subscribe to the Remix Movement YouTube channel, where you can have access to all of our previous podcast videos. Thank you and God bless.